Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I today. We are answering the question, why do Christians struggle with sin?
Do you want my bottom line answer?
Yes.
They refuse to repent.
That's it.
They struggle because they really don't want to give up their sin.
That's true.
You know, Christians, sometimes they do nothing to change. They take no effort, no discipline, and they ask why they feel so far away from God. And they're completely led by their feelings.
Right. Go by their feelings. You know, and there's no fear of God in their lives also. You know, and the fear of God is simply that you respect God enough to obey him. But they don't have that fear. Another verse, Psalms 55:19 says, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. So they're not willing to change something that they need to do. You know, like we've asked people, they've come up to us at the book tables at our, when we speak at churches, and they'll say, Bill, you know, I'm really struggling with sin, and, you know, I just can't let go of the drinking or drugs or pornography or whatever they're dealing with. And we've asked them and said, well, do you read the word daily? Not one has ever said yes.
No.
Not one.
When you're committing sin, you don't want to read the word. You don't want to be close to God. You don't pray. So it is really a lack of repentance.
Right. And going to church is great. We need to do that. But that's not enough just to go to church on Sunday. And you know, because Psalms 119:11, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So you've got to get the word in your heart. If you don't read it, it won't be in your heart and you'll continue sinning.
Exactly.
So they got that. It takes some effort on their part. And I told them, well, you've got to sit down and read. Be disciplined. Show some discipline in your life. You know, if you want to go get your body in shape, you got to go to the gym. It takes effort. Well, they need to show some effort and sit down and read even 15 minutes. So, you know, being a Christian is not for wimps. Take some work.
That's true.
I mean, not to work to be saved, but to continue and be successful as a Christian, not be living, struggling with sin all the time. You know, and many have not renewed their mind with the word of God. Again, you've got to get it in your heart. And as you get it in your heart, you start thinking like God thinks. And then you actually grow to the point where you hate sin. Like David said in Psalms 119, all through it, I hate every false way. I hate every evil way. I love thy law. I meditate in thy word day and night. But see, it took that effort on his part to read it, to get it in his heart. You know, and there are some that think that God has done it all, and they take no responsibility for their part. However, just because we are under grace doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing. Again, that's the lazy approach to think God's going to do it all for you. No, we've got to take some effort.
He's not. You know, when I was a new Christian, I backslid. So I know the mindset of a backslider. I mean, you're under condemnation, you're shame, you're in torment when you're not sinning. It's fun while you're sinning. But then you have to come to a point where you make a decision. I'm going to cut this relationship off. I am truly repenting. I'm going to cut off that pornography. I'm going to cut off those drugs. I mean, you have to do something. Until we come to that place of repentance, we're going to be a mess. We're going to be in torment. We're going to feel guilty. We're going to experience all those things if we were really, truly born again, because it's tormenting to be a Christian and be in sin.
Right. And to repent means to agree to turn away from a sinful lifestyle.
Yes.
And follow Jesus. So even when once you're saved, you have to still agree to turn away from sin.
Yeah.
Say no to it.
Exactly. And I know for myself, until I came to that place to cut off a relationship that I was in that was ungodly, then that's when I started to experience freedom. And when I took the steps to start seeking God and start wanting to change.
Right.
You know, he meets you as soon as if you just give an inch, he'll come a mile in, you know.
Right, exactly.
God is so good.
Yes.
You know, well, Bill, first of all, how does a person know they are saved? And we're just going to quickly look at a couple of verses. But I know 1 John 2:3 tells us that, and by this we may be sure that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Right.
And our greatest commandment is to love. Love God and love people.
Right.
And then 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We love one another.
Right.
And then thirdly, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we are a new creation in Christ because now our spirit is alive to God when we are truly born again and get saved. We, on the inside, we are changed. That's we right. want to do things different. Right. If we're really born again and really saved, we want to change. We want to leave the sin. We have that desire.
Right. That's right. We should have that desire. You know, first of all, real quickly, what is sin? Well, 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the transgression or the breaking of God's law. It is lawlessness. And, you know, Vines says, a sinner, one who misses the mark, the fallen condition of men. So that's what sin is. But what does sin do to us?
Well, we know a few things it does from the scriptures. First of all, sin deceives. James 1:22 says, be a doer of the word. That means obey the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself.
Right, so it can deceive you.
Yes, and then sin, number two, it hardens our heart. Hebrews 3:13 says, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Mm. You know, Acts 19:9 states that some were hardened and did not believe. So unbelief hardens our heart.
Right. And number three, sin hurts our faith and we have no confidence to pray. 1 John 3:21 and 22 says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We have confidence when we are not living in sin. And so that's so important.
Yeah, we have confidence to pray, absolutely.
Right, and to come before God. You know, and then number four, sin brings death. Romans 8:2 says, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And then James 1:14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
There's the warning.
You don't want to play around with sin.
Exactly.
It's a slippery slope.
Exactly. You know, and as soon as we make that decision to repent, it's super important now to renew our minds with the Word of God. Like Romans 12:2 says, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got to now fill ourselves with the Word of God, time in prayer. James 1:21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. And that is what saves our soul, because our soul, we're a three-part being. Our soul is our mind, will, and our emotions. Well, if we want to get those under control, we've got to renew our mind with the Word of God.
That's it. Right. You know, and then this is an interesting verse. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know, a lot of these people are struggling with sin because they're thinking about it all the time. Well, one of the things that would help is to commit your works unto the Lord. And one thing you can do is, you know, just going down to the mission and bringing food and clothes and feeding the poor. If you do that, you see, man, I've got a lot to be thankful for. You know, when you see these people in their poor condition and so forth. So it starts causing your mind to think a little bit differently and you start being more thankful for what you have. That's just a start.
So I love that.
Whatever works, there's many works you can do for the Lord, but it will get you to think more godly and be thankful and not be dwelling on sin. You'll be thankful for what you have. So that will help change your thoughts by committing your works unto the Lord.
That's a great verse for that. So just doing something to serve others and help somebody else and
right.
get your mind off of focusing on the sin or what, you know.
Right. Or, you know, go to the hospital, you pray for somebody that's sick.
Yes.
When you're healthy and you see them sick, you think, oh, thank you, Lord, for my health. I've got a lot to be thankful for. But get your mind off of the temptation of
sin. Yes, that's good.
You know, and if sin wasn't dangerous, why all the warnings and instruction in the Bible? There are so many, but just to give one.
Yes, there's a lot of warnings against sin. But Galatians 5:19, it names some of the sins. Like adultery, it says, now these are works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lustful pleasures, idolatry, witchcraft, quarreling, hatred, jealousy, rage, wrath, selfish ambition, division, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, wild parties, and the like. These shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So these are just practicing a lifestyle of sin. And it's not just sin that is in the outward that people see. It's also the sin that's in the heart.
That's right. So we must take ownership and obey the word of God. Romans 6, 11 and 12 says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. So we don't allow it. We say no. Romans 6, 6 says, I should not serve sin. And then one more, 1 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So again, we must say no to it.
No, that's really good. So here's some quick tips here on how to stop sinning.
How to stop a sinning cycle.
Yeah, sinning cycle. That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
You know, again, first, as we've said, number one, repent, which is turning away from sin and turning to God.
Right.
You know, and 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us.
That's right. God is so good. He'll forgive us just when we ask forgiveness. Number two, we have to choose. Psalms 119:16, David said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. And Psalms 119:30, he said, I have chosen the way of truth. You see that? He chose. Psalms 119:31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Psalms 119:32, I will run the way of thy commandments. He's going to run towards the commandments. Psalms 119:101 says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Just notice how he said, I will delight. I have chosen. I have stuck. I will run. I have refrained. So see, there's God's part and there's our part. Now we are also, number three, we are to declare the word to be authority in our lives. You know, Psalms 138:2 says, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. God's word is above even his name, and his name is above all names. So that's how powerful the word of God is, and we have to declare the word to be authority. That's what's first. That's how we make our decisions. What does the word of God have to say? Number four, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, we guard our heart through what we see in our eyes and what we hear. So we have to be careful what we watch, movies, people we hang out with, games maybe we play, and all those things can pollute our heart.
That's really good. Yeah, that goes to number five, keep wise associations. So our relationships are so important. If we walk with wise people, we'll be wise, like Proverbs 13:20 says. So you want to be real guarded with your relationships. People will either pull you towards God or away from the Lord.
That's right.
And then we've got to speak God's word over our life. You know, this is so powerful. Pray his word. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Boy, that's powerful.
And James 3, of course, chapter 3, talks all about the tongue. But this is so important to find scriptures about your situation, about your life, about an area that you need to renew your mind in. Say you're having trouble with knowing who you are in Christ. Look up all the scriptures about who Jesus says you are and start saying those and praying those over yourself. You'll start changing.
Right. So again, what you say, to continue on with these verses about speaking, 1 Peter 3:10 says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Well, that's powerful. And evil is also involves doubt and unbelief of God's word. And so we have to trust the word of God. Job 6:24, Job said, teach me and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand where I have erred. How forcible are right words? He realized how forcible right words were, and he erred with his words. Proverbs 12:14 says, a good man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And then Jesus said in Matthew 15:11, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. That's, again, very powerful.
That's really good. And keep God first, number seven, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. That goes along with in Psalms where it talks about delight ourselves in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But the key is putting him first.
Right.
You know, and there are those too who continue to let the enemy condemn them for their past. So we need to forget those things that are behind. Like Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting those things that are behind. Paul said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So once you ask God's forgiveness, you repent, you cut off that sin, now start looking forward and quit going back to your past.
Right.
And your past hurts.
Right. Don't let the devil throw that back up to you again and say, you're just a no good sinner. Don't remember what you did. That's what the devil speaks in your ears.
Yes,
but you have to say,
no,
I'm forgiven. That's done. Listen to these verses. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, or our sins. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You see that? He won't remember. So once you've asked forgiveness, forget it. God's forgotten it. So you look forward now, and you don't dwell on the past. Don't let the devil throw that up to you.
Yes, that's a really good point. You know, and we do this only by his grace. And his grace is, the spirit of grace is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I mean, we have God inside of us. We need to get God inside minded. We need to remember that, because Hebrews 12:28 says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably.
That's good.
And 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So when we trust in him, we depend on him, we get more grace. And 2 Timothy 2:1 says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I like to just, you know, pray and thank the Father. Thank you, Father, for you are keeping me holy. Thank you, Father, for grace. I thank you for your grace that's abounding towards me in this situation. And pray those things. It's so powerful to pray
right.
The word of God.
God's grace is so good. He gives us the grace to help us.
Yes.
You know, it's empowers us to be able to resist the sin. It's not in our strength. You know, and so in other words, there is God's part and there's our part. And it's not performance. God doesn't love us anymore because we are doing the right thing. You know, it's obedience out of a relationship with him. Because we love him. So we want to obey him because we love him.
Yes, and because he first loved us.
That's right.
And rescued us from sin and death and hell. You know, you want to be intentional. So say no to sin, cut it off from your life, you know, including any ungodly relationships, movies, video games, etc., and form new habits. You know, it's not easy to put the flesh down. You know, that's why sometimes some praying and fasting helps, because fasting puts that flesh down. So when you form new habits, that's one of the things you can kick off your time with is maybe going on a fast, and especially time to be intentional. Take time to read and study the Word of God every morning. You've got to exercise discipline, even if you start with 10 minutes, you grow to 15 minutes. I mean, but we have to just form new habits. And it takes 2 to 3 months to really get a new habit formed.
Right.
And then get connected with strong Christians. Hold each other accountable.
That's right. So, you know, kind of sum up that again. You know, if you go to church, get involved in a church and go regularly, make friends, like she said, and that will hold you accountable. Get into the Word. Even if it's 15 minutes a day, it'll start changing your mind and you'll start thinking more like God thinks. So these are things you can do to get away from a sinful lifestyle. And, you know, again, it is not in our own strength, but it's in his strength and by his spirit that we can do these things.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.